This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Tig?
Hey, girl, hey.
Hey, God, hey.
Hey, God, hey.
Hey, Jesus, hey.
Hey.
We cover a lot today.
Mm-hmm. Every time.
Every time. You're going to learn a lot about a lot of things.
Yeah.
Try to think of what they have to look forward to. Sade.
Sade. Oh, and a makeout. Makeouts that you and I had. Not together.
Not together, you guys. Relax.
Everyone relax.
And then we do get to the bottom of our fighting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People are very upset about all the fighting that goes on between me and you.
Very mad about it, but we're gonna get to it. We're gonna address it.
We are finally gonna address the fights.
Yeah. All right, ladies and germs, welcome to
jerks.
Oh, ladies and jerks, welcome to Jesus Camp.
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly. Five furious frogs fiddling faintly.
I am the first ever podcast. And Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story. Tig.
Cheryl.
How's it going?
Good. I'm in New Orleans.
Yeah, and you're snacking.
I had a bite of a snack. I'm not going to keep eating.
Why can't you eat before we start?
Well, I've had a busy day. I had to do wardrobe. I had to do makeup tests. I had to get my hair cut.
Whoa.
I had to meet with the director. I'm a movie star.
Oh, no, that's not the right one. Braggadocious alert.
I think you got that horn confused with your ending horn when you crossed
the finish line,
which, by the way, Stephanie and I were lying in bed. It was completely lights out, about to fall asleep. And I said, oh, my gosh, I have to tell you a story that Cheryl told me that I know you're going to love. She was doing her laugh that is her exceptionally laughing laugh, where she goes quiet for a long time. You know, those kind
of... doesn't breathe for a second. You know,
mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And then that's why I was texting you when you were out of town saying, can you do a audio recording of your horn?
Because my horn.
Yeah. You
know. Yeah, and then I was on the plane, and I'm sitting next to my daughter, and I'm going like this. And she's like, Mom, what are you doing? And can you not do that?
Oh my God, it's such a funny
the
story.
The air horn. Oh boy, you boy. Yeah, and if anybody missed it, it was because I came in last.
Nobody late. Missed it.
Okay.
We don't lose a
Nobody
listener.
Even if you don't know what we're talking about. It was our last episode. I'm sure we talk all about it.
People are subscribing in droves to hear this. Our numbers are going up. People would be astounded if they saw how many people sign on for this every week.
They would be shocked.
They would be. We're shocked.
We are shocked.
Every time I get the numbers, I'm like, more?
it's not that they don't know that we don't really talk about the documentary, because they know, because all of the reviews are like, these two talk about anything except the film.
And they must tell their friends, oh, you have to listen to this. I don't know what's happening.
If you don't want to know anything about documentaries, listen to this podcast.
But if you want to hear, pah, 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 or whatever.
No.
So you kind of fall off a mountain at the end.
Yeah, because it's an air horn. You run out of air.
Yeah, you catch air as you go off the mountain.
Okay.
Yeah.
You ready to get to it?
Yeah.
Today we are talking about Jesus Camp. Jesus Camp is a 2006 documentary directed by Rachel Grady and Heidi Ewing. It profiles the attendees of an evangelical. We watched it, but I still can't pronounce it. An evangelical summer camp where children are indoctrinated in a highly conservative and politicized version of Christianity. Jesus Camp premiered at the Tribeca Film Festival and was nominated for Best Documentary Feature at the 2006 Academy Awards, where it lost to An Inconvenient Truth. It was distributed by Magnolia Pictures and is available to watch on Hulu.
It's interesting that it lost to An Inconvenient Truth, because that feels like a time period, obviously, where global warming was really starting to get discussed. And I saw Jesus Camp years ago when it came out, and I forgot about that element because it hadn't been hammered into my brain yet about global warming. And it was interesting to hear that topic coming up. And how a lot of Christians just feel like, just plow through natural resources and animals and land and then just head off to heaven.
Or hell. I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, listen, there's no, I mean, that's the whole point, is like you have to do a lot of stuff to get into heaven. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you are headed straight to hell.
Do you believe in hell?
I don't. Do you?
Oh, yes.
You think there's like,
it's hot, it's hot, ow.
And then the red devil with the horns and the pitchfork. Why does he have a pitchfork?
Well, to get you. Like that lady that ran Jesus Camp. Man.
Ooh. Okay, so yeah, let's just talk about this for a second. And you know what's unfortunate is the lady that ran Jesus Camp's name is Becky. And my sister is Dr. Becky Hines. And now we have to talk about Pastor Becky Fisher. And I don't want people to get confused when
I'm
saying,
call her Pastor Fisher.
Pastor Fisher.
Pastor Fisher. Just so we don't have to say Becky.
Yeah, because I don't want...
We don't want to taint that name.
Or the name of so many people's dogs that they've named after Dr. Becky Hines. I don't want them to think about Pastor Fisher.
They might have even named their baby Dr. Becky Hines, you know?
Oh, if you've named your baby Dr. Becky Hines, please let us know immediately.
Send a picture of that little preciousness. Of Dr. Becky Hines.
Dr. Becky Hines. Wow. I like that you do sound effects today. You have a lot of sound effects going. That wasn't bad.
No, I mean, that was bad.
Okay, in Kansas City, Missouri, in 2005, the culture war was going at full speed.
Wait, you're no longer reading the outline with your phone blocking the camera, so I can't see you?
My eyesight is not great. I have to hold my phone so far away. Anyway, this woman, Pastor Becky Fisher. Pastor Fisher, she would have a camp for kids called Jesus Camp. You know, it was very, what's the word? Aggressive?
It was aggressive. It was dark. It was that,
like,
attacking.
Brainwashing.
Yeah. I can't imagine being in a room with all of these precious little children and being like, Satan will get you. You know, essentially is the vibe.
Well, right. I mean, she was yelling at them about Harry Potter.
I know. And you like look around the room and there's just
like
3-year-olds and 8-year-olds.
Yeah. Almost in tears. And then like every once in a while, a 40-year-old that's like, woohoo.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, what is happening?
I would say it's not the greatest representation of Christianity.
No.
I'm going to spill those beans right off the bat.
Well, you know, it's an extreme. They're extremists. So that's, it's like anything, right? We've covered Scientology.
Mm-hmm.
So this woman, Pastor Fisher.
Good.
She's a real character.
When she stood up in front of the kids and was like, how do you like my nails? And my hair? I was just like.
And my eyebrows. I did my eyebrows. And all the kids were looking
and
at
the
her.
And the rest of me. And it's like, what are we looking at?
I don't even know what we're supposed to be looking at. Because by the way, I was looking and it's not like she was Sofia Vergara, you know, she wasn't like.
Is that your.
That's my go-to glamorous lady.
Oh, okay.
Don't you think? Maybe she was like a, who would you liken Pastor Fisher to be, look like?
Well, I wouldn't picture Sophia.
No, that's what I'm saying. She was more like James Corden.
with a bad spiky frost job.
Yeah. So it was weird that she was like telling them how much she prepared physically for the camp.
Yeah.
I was very surprised about all of it.
There's a lot of surprises. Even though I had seen the documentary before, I was still surprised.
Was it what you remembered?
Yeah, the gist is there. I forgot about how political and conservative and right-wing that this movement is.
Yeah, I think it's very strange when religion gets tied to politics.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense to me.
And that it speaks to, shouldn't God and religion be love?
All accepting?
Yeah. And then it's just so...
No, it's so...
conservative and...
And judgmental. And,
yeah.
Well, this particular version.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we're talking about, right?
Oh, is that what we're talking about? But can I just say, you know what? I don't really understand, and I'm sure you do because... of all your ties with voodoo and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like speaking in tongue.
Uh-huh.
Is it tongue or tongues? Tongues.
I think tongues.
Because Pastor Bibblybop Fisher, she.
I say that's her new name. Everyone will know who we're talking about. Pastor Bibblybop.
Pastor
Bibblybop. Pastor Bibblybop. I'm a wordsmith. What do I don't know what to tell you.
Pastor Bibblybop, she really encourages the kids to speak in tongues.
Actually, Bibblybop works too, just fine. We don't have to change it. Pastor Bibbly, because it's biblical.
Right. Yeah, yeah, whatever comes out.
Yeah.
Let's just let it flow.
Yeah.
I mean, do you understand that? The speaking in tongues, and what is it exactly?
Made up.
It's like, would it be the same thing as saying, hey, just... do some gibberish now.
Yeah.
It's gibberish, right?
Yeah.
Is it gibberish?
Yes.
They're not words, right?
No.
It's like.
Or scatting.
Well, I was going to say, not that Curb has anything to do with this documentary, but on Curb Your Enthusiasm, because it's not scripted. It's all improvised. And so when we do a rehearsal before a scene, we'll just walk through it for the camera crew, but we won't say anything about anything and we'll only speak gibberish. So whenever I hear people speaking in tongues, it reminds me of just a
being
Curb Your Enthusiasm rehearsal where it's like, and then I'll walk over here and go, and then I might sit down and then I'll do
my gibberish.
My gibberish is
Meatball.
A meatball. But these kids, I mean, you know, they're learning how to speak in tongues when they're four, when they're three.
And cry.
And they cry and they're moved.
It is so
It's just hard to understand. I mean, this woman is Pastor Fisher. And yeah.
Pastor Bibbly Bop.
Pastor Bibbly Bop. What were you going to say?
Just thinking about that kid, when she was comparing the two different kind, like dead church versus this church.
Oh,
and how they're like, you know, dear God, I love you. I will obey you.
Yeah. That's not praying.
They got to make some noise. They got to make some noise. Like, why on earth would God be that judgmental? Why would God pass over those believers in the other church?
Yeah, because,
like God would pass over me in my backyard.
Yes, and being quiet and still,
and just hugging my kid.
No, that's not okay.
And having a nice day. Mm-mm. Pass over us. Go straight to the loud, rambunctious church.
Yes. That can really hear it.
Yeah. He's like, well, something's going on down there. Well, this is who I'm going to love. This rambunctious crowd.
So, yeah. So this woman, Pastor Fisher, she invites these kids.
Bibbly Bop.
Bibbly Bop. To Kids on Fire is the name of the church camp. Oh, ironically, in Devil's Lake, North Dakota.
Oh.
Why is it in Devil's Lake? Just this, to stick it to the devil. Just to really pitchfork, stick it to him.
Yeah. Give him a taste of his own poking.
Oh.
Give him a poke with his own.
Where it really, with his hot, what is it called? When you heat something up, you know, you heat up the iron. It's called something, right? Heat up the iron and make it really hot.
It's a hot iron. It's like, careful. It's hot.
There's a word. It's a poke.
It's a hot poke.
Oh, a hot poke. A hot poker. I worked too hard for hot poker. It wasn't worth it. But anyway, she wants to create...
Poker's full of heat.
The Christian equivalent of kids who are willing to lay down their lives. Like... the Islamic families that are training their kids to be warriors for Islam. That's what she's telling everybody, that she wants these kids to be warriors for God. And even at the camp, she puts, you know, camo face paint on them, and they run around, and they just, you know, would lay down their lives for Jesus.
Yeah, it's all very... this particular movie and these particular people, it feels very dark, political, military.
Yeah.
I really bore myself going into all of this of like...
Oh, good. That's what we're here for.
Well, yeah. That's why people tune in.
I can't wait to hear.
But I know it's not new ideas by any stretch of the imagination, but it's just like... So God wants... you carrying a gun and blowing people away, and like,
if you don't agree with them.
It just feels so dark.
And these kids are so sweet. You know, you see them with her in this camp, and sort of the hateful, you know, words that are coming out of her mouth. And then you see them just be kids, you know, when they're not with her, and they're climbing trees and running around and being cute kids. And this one kid, Levi. How about Levi?
Oh my God, he's so cute.
He's so
cute.
And
his long rat tail.
His rat tail. I bet you had a rat tail when you were a tween.
I did not.
Were you in Mississippi when you were a tween? Yeah, you had a rat tail.
No, I did not. No, I was in Texas without a rat tail. I had friends with rat tails.
My nephew had a rat tail. His twin sister cut it off while he was sleeping.
Good.
Ooh, he was so mad because it takes a long time to grow those things out, you know.
You know what I did do when I was in sixth grade?
What did you
do? Everybody had, you know, spiked hair.
Yeah.
You know, they'd have like, they cut their hair short, and then it was like kind of a just a like, spike down the middle.
It's like a faux hawk.
Yeah, but it wasn't quite a faux hawk, but it was just like a spike down the middle. And I was very curious about it, and so I just cut maybe like, I just grabbed like a little twirl in the back of my hair, and I cut the back just like, you know, where alfalfa's, like a little alfalfa. Like
where, right where it would grow straight
where
up.
Where it goes straight up. And I grabbed my little alfalfa and I cut it to where it was just like, I don't know, maybe half an inch. Just I was curious. Well, guess who had their hair growing up straight like alfalfa for a long time?
I'm just going to guess you.
It was me, Cheryl.
Was it?
You're right. It was me.
But it just grew straight up because it was at the cowlick. Because everybody's hair, you know, you have that little swirl at the top of your head.
Well, and the hair surrounding the little area I cut was growing just over it. So and so the hair would grow up and it would push the longer strands.
Were you embarrassed at all about this or not really?
Oh, of course. I was just like, oh, gosh. And plus my mother was like, did you cut your hair? Yeah. I did. Just one little alfalfa area of my bowl haircut. The rest of my hair was one length bowl. Just a bowl.
Whoa. Who did that to you? The barber?
It was the... Well, I was a little girl. I didn't go to a barber, of course.
I feel like you did.
I mean, which, what hairstyle? By the way, I found out today I could get a barber's license in 6 months. I don't need to do the year and a half of cosmetology school that you did.
Well, you won't learn how to do perms or jerry curls.
Not interested. Okay. Not interested.
You just want to know how to cut hair?
I want to cut my hair, my son's hair, and my father-in-law's hair and be done with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see you go to barber school.
Look, I'm getting all this plant-based. I got my plant-based certification, nutrition certification during the pandemic. Now I'm studying to get my plant-based coaching certification.
And what do you do with that?
Well, I'm hoping to coach people and help them shift their health and their diets if that interests them.
I mean, I'm interested in that.
Well, great. Kick down the cash.
Do I get a discount or is it just like, no?
No, full price. And
but
you know
haven't
what?
Even done it yet.
I know, but when I become a coach, it's going to be a price. You know how people...
Oh, you're going to be like a celebrity plant coach.
Well, yeah. I'm not just going to be like, hey, for $50, I'll sit on Zoom with you and talk about carrots.
What will you do?
What do you mean?
For $300, you'll sit on Zoom and talk about carrots.
Oh, you'd be lucky for $300. What is that website where you can have celebrities wish you a happy birthday for like a lot of money? Oh, Cameo.
Cameo.
This is like Cameo, but for 30 or 45 minutes for like a month once a week. This is going to be some cash. So you get to have FaceTime with me, and we'll talk about carrots.
I cannot wait to see how much you charge for this. Circling back to Jesus Camp, I'm reading something that says evangelicals. That can't be how you say it. Evangelicals. Evangelicals.
Evangelicals. It is so fun to hear how you will say things.
Who wrote it and said that we should run for
our lives?
We should moderate the presidential debates.
Oh my god. Before we talk about this Jesus Camp movie, let's take a break.
We're going to come back and really hunker down.
Oh, man.
Get ready.
Oh, man. Here we come.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. you should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Okay, welcome back. Oh, you know what I think is interesting? That, what's her name, does?
Pastor Bibbly Bop?
Pastor Bibbly Bop. Before the summer camp starts, her and her staff go around and they're praying, you know, they're praying for over all the chairs and the space.
They yell at the projector and yell
and
at
they
the...
pray to Jesus for no microphone problems. It just seems weird. It's like...
I know. When I was writing my book, which is a best-selling, New York Times best-selling... I was talking about that in my book, about how people, like with their kids playing sports, and they're just praying that their kid wins and beats the other team.
Oh.
It's such a weird... I can't get on board with it. The, like, praying that God will... get involved in this kid's game.
In the t-ball game.
In the t-ball game and make sure your kid's team wins and the other team doesn't. It reminds me, and I wrote about this too in the book, it reminds me of that song that I love, Do They Know It's Christmas?
Do they know it's Christmas? I'm not a great singer. But yeah, that one. Why does it remind you of that?
Because there is a line that has always confused me since I was a child. I love that song.
Okay.
But it says, well, tonight, thank... You think you can't sing. Here we go. Well, tonight, thank God it's them instead of you.
Oh, yeah.
So they're starving, and you're in your bed at home.
Yeah.
And you're like, thank you, God, for making them starve.
And not me.
And then
that
you
is
turn
weird.
Your line out. It's so weird.
Thank God we made it.
Thank you, God. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for starving those other children.
I'm really hoping that that was not the intention of
I know it wasn't the intention. It doesn't feel filled with love because it should be a motivator to better things rather than just thank you, God. We won.
We made it.
We didn't starve.
Yeah.
We got
no,
it.
You're right. No, it should be God help us find a way to help each other and raise each other up.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's not what's happening in Jesus Camp either. Do you
no.
Do you want to hear some of Rachel Bibbly Bop?
That's what I'm here for.
This is her preaching to the kids. These are little. These are little kids.
3-year-olds.
With freckles, and they're just
rat
they're,
tails.
They're sitting there, and they're. And this is what Bibbly Bop has to say.
God can do anything. We can just say, God, fix the world. How many of you know that this is a pretty sick old world?
Oh.
This is a sick old world. Well, then let's just fix it. Somebody get your tools out and let's just fix this old world. Kids, you've got to change things. We got too many Christian grown-ups that are fat and lazy.
Oh.
Oh.
They don't want to give up their evening meal. They don't want to fast for a 3-day fast or a 40-day fast or whatever.
Just 3-year-old sitting there staring at her.
Just like, I don't,
and like,
I'm not sure.
Do they know what fasting is?
I don't know. They're,
do they understand?
Like, they're like, when she's like, fix it. They're just sitting there like, are you talking to us? Like,
it's a messed up world. Fix it, God. Just
scared,
blank-faced 3-year-old sitting there.
And what is she talking about? What was she saying about fat and lazy? I mean, It's just a weird, I don't even understand the
like
things.
Like bringing in somebody's weight, like, oh, you're fat and lazy. That's what you're, the message you're giving 3-year-old children.
They don't even know what she's talking about. I like that there was one shot in this film that made me laugh so hard because there was some of this going on with the, you know, with all
anger.
The... anger. And then they were at somebody's house and they cut to like the hound dog that's just sitting there like, what the fuck is going on? Like this dog is just,
God,
looking at
get
the...
me out of here.
It's just like, what is, how did I end up here?
Why are these the people that chose me?
It reminded me of what was the housewife and the hustler. And the dogs that wake up and they're like, why am I living in a purse? Why is this?
Why am I? Why is my chair a bag of cocaine in a purse? Why is my bed, my dog bed, a bag of cocaine?
Hound dog is just like, what? How many more days do I have to listen to this?
When will somebody leave the gate open? For just that's enough. I'm out of here.
There was a very sweet girl, Rachel, right? Mm-hmm. She's very sweet. And when you look at her, it's funny because at the beginning of the film, I was watching her and I thought, oh, she's just thinking, whoa, get me out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear her talk.
Yeah.
And she is...
She's in it.
Whoa.
She's been talking to some people about, some people have been talking to her about this.
I mean, she is 9 years mm-hmm. old and she goes bowling.
She seems 30.
She seems 30 and she's, you know, she's just praying, but praying for a strike, like before she bowls, every time before she bowls, it's like, Jesus, please.
Jesus, get me a strike
Jesus,
and not my friends.
Please, Jesus. And then there's a, you want to hear her talking about her dream, like what she, what her biggest dream is?
Yes, please.
Here's little Rachel with pigtails and freckles.
When I grow up, I always thought it would be kind of fun to be one of those, like, people who paint nails and stuff, because you would get a chance to tell them about the Lord. I mean, just relaxing Christian music in the background, you know, doing it, you know what I mean? Mm. It would just be really relaxing, and they would just be able to kind of, they wouldn't have many walls at that second, you know, and they would just be able to accept, you know.
I mean...
She's got a point.
It's not a bad idea. You have a captive audience, and it's like, look, do you want your nails done or not, lady?
Speaking of having nails done and being a captive audience,
yeah,
that's how a girl hit on me once.
Oh,
and I recreated the scene in One Mississippi. I used to work at a coffee shop, and I was sweeping up at the end of the night, and I saw her sitting on the couch drawing a picture, and I said... Is that you sitting on Mary Tyler Moore's lap? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Wait one second. That was the picture she was drawing
yes.
of you doing a bit.
No, she was drawing a picture of herself sitting on
Mary Tyler Moore's lap. Okay.
I was like, this person is perfectly weird enough. For me.
I need to talk to her immediately.
Well, yeah, I was just fascinated. I was like, what are you doing drawing yourself? And she said, I have a whole series of paintings at my apartment. And I was like, my head exploded. I was like, and she just seemed interesting, you know?
Yeah.
And she said, do you want to come over and see them? And
I
was like, okay. Yeah. And
oh,
so.
Oh, my God.
I finish up. And I go over to her place. This is very out of character for me. But side note, still a friend of mine today.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But I went over to her place. Sure enough, I walk in. It's a studio apartment. Around her apartment is taped up sketches and paintings of her in different Mary Tyler Moore.
Laps?
No, all Mary Tyler Moore and different Mary Tyler Moore suits. It was the most hilarious thing. And for One Mississippi, we couldn't get the okay from Mary Tyler Moore and her people, so we use B. Arthur. And we use B. Arthur also because the girl that I ended up kissing was obsessed with B. Arthur. After I got to be friends with her, she's also obsessed with B. Arthur.
Oh,
so
wow.
I was like, oh, let's do B. Arthur. So anyway, I'm sitting on, she didn't have a chair. I sat on her single bed.
Wait, she didn't have a chair in her apartment?
No, it was just
just her bed and
it was
lots
a single bed.
Painting, drawings,
yeah, paintings,
sketches,
drawings, and paintings,
and paintings,
just taped up on her wall, going around the apartment.
Nope, not framed.
Nope. And then she had no chair, so I sat on her bed. And when I sat on her bed, she said,
"Now I got you."
She said, "Can I paint your nails?" And I was like,
"What is happening?"
Sure.
This
so I'm sitting on the edge of her bed with my hands on my knees, and she comes up and she starts painting my nails facing me, you know.
Yeah.
And then after she paints my nails, she goes in for the kiss, and I couldn't like do anything because my fingers
were
drying.
Wet.
My nails were drying.
Oh my God. She had it down to a science.
Yeah. And so we kissed, and I had my hands up in the air drying my nails.
Yeah. You didn't want to ruin your nails.
Yeah.
She really thought that
She's creative. I think she also even put out a ska album of all instrumental Sade songs. She's very interesting.
It's really Sade.
It's Sade.
You think it's Sade? It's Sade.
Sade.
Won't pretend. It's S-A-D-E. You're like putting an R in there out of nowhere.
I used to call her Sade, and then people were like, it's actually Sade.
Who said that? The girl that painted your nails?
No, but different people over time.
I don't believe you. You mean people would just come up to you and go, hey, don't ever call her Sade. It's Sade.
I'm happy to be told I'm wrong. Thomas, can you tell us how it's
Thomas,
pronounced?
Thomas, can you find out? Because I feel strongly, and I don't want you to keep saying Sade.
I felt strongly that it was Sade, and then people were like, it's Sade.
Sade.
Yeah.
One time when I was in college, this guy said, he was talking about tropical fish, and then he said, do you want to see my fish in my fish tank? And I said, sure. And I went to his place, and he didn't have a fish tank.
We'll be right back. Wait, why would you go
to
see a fish tank?
Why would you go get your nails painted?
Well, I didn't know I was going to get my nails painted. I thought I was going to see pictures of Mary Tyler Moore.
Well, I thought I was going to see see real fish.
Well, okay. But a guy... we both kind of knew what we were getting into.
Yeah, let's be honest.
Yeah.
How to say Sade? You ready to hear this?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Sade. Sade. Sade.
You're right.
Tig, I'm happy I could help you today.
I am too. I'm usually the one with the right information with music.
I don't want you to humiliate yourself anymore.
I'm thrilled. I always thought it was Sade, and I got corrected numerous times in my life.
In Mississippi?
No.
Maybe that's how they say it in Mississippi.
I don't think they say it out there, I'll be honest.
You don't think everybody's talking about Sade in Mississippi?
I don't know.
You know what that reminds me of? When I was in college.
Is this about the goldfish?
It's about Sade.
Okay.
I had to take...
I love her, by the way.
I love Sade.
Love.
I had to take college algebra 4 times to pass it because I can't. Because I can't. I just have a problem with numbers.
I only did pre-algebra and I never passed it.
No,
go ahead.
It's impossible. But then I thought that they were just going to take your last grade, and for whatever reason they decided to... put all of my
get the
F's
average
and D's, yeah, and so which meant that I wasn't going to be able to
make friends
to major. I wasn't going to be able to make friends. I wasn't going to be able to major in communications. And I thought, I was really, I mean, at this point, this was probably the worst thing that had happened to me. And I remember sitting in the bathtub, smoking cigarettes, which I don't smoke. That's when I had Sade's album. And I just kept listening to her album, smoking cigarettes and
what
crying.
Song?
Won't pretend. I ain't in the subliving. And I'm just like crying and smoking and just
I
like,
wonder yeah. what I was doing. What year was this?
This was probably, I mean, because I went to beauty school and then I went to college. So it was probably like 85.
Okay.
What do you think you were doing?
I was smoking on a bridge.
We were both smoking.
Yeah.
Back to Billy Bob. So, you know, the whole thing about this film is they were really brainwashing these kids, right? And the little guy Levi, who was just so adorable, and he wanted to be a preacher, and he was excited about that. And then he met this one guy came. What was his name?
Scary Pants.
Scary Pants came.
Who was
Ted
passing
Haggard.
Around? Ted Haggard. I thought you meant the other guy that came that. Passed around little plastic abortion babies.
No, I can't even. Oh, God, that guy. I can't even, Tig.
If this man was working on your lawn or your house and you spent half a second talking to him, you'd be like, honey, we have got
to move.
We
don't tell this guy where we're going.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Did you hear how he was talking to our children in the backyard? Like, it's so...
Oh, my gosh.
He was so disturbing.
A lot of things about this was disturbing. Hmm. And I guess that's why it was nominated, right? Because it was...
Yeah.
And at this, when it came out, I mean, it was very politically charged, right?
Mm-hmm.
George W. Bush was in office, and... Even at the Jesus camp, they pray to a cutout of George W. Bush, which
oh
was also
gosh.
Kind of weird.
And all of the course. Kids are... What do you mean kind of weird? To see three-year-olds praying to a cardboard cutout of a president?
Yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot. And then, let's see, do we need to hear from Levi? Would you like to hear little Levi rehearsing his sermon?
Sure.
Okay.
By the way,
yeah,
Stephanie is incredible at off-the-cuff sermons.
Really?
It is such a funny talent that she has because she went to Christian high school, not because she's religious, but because it was a good school.
Yeah.
And it was like a private school in the area. Stephanie said her parents didn't know it was Christian, so they sent her to this... And her parents are not Christian, but they sent her
to
school.
But they knew it was a good
school.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it was full-blown Christian.
So she can go off.
Oh, my gosh. She can, if you ask her to do a prayer at a meal, she can do it. If you ask her to pray over something.
I would
hear
it.
Oh, my God. It is one of my favorite things.
I want to hear that. Okay. All right. Let's hear little Levi.
I really feel that we're a key generation. I really do. I really feel that this generation is a key generation to Jesus coming back.
And by the way, little Levi is wearing a... He's wearing...
What looks like a Reese's peanut butter cup shirt.
T-shirt.
But it's not. It is not.
No, it doesn't say Reese's.
Uh-uh.
It says Jesus.
Jesus.
So it looks like it's orange and it looks like a Reese's peanut butter cup shirt, but it's not. It's Jesus.
I wish it said Jesus peanut butter cup.
That's basically the film. Did we leave anything out?
Nope, we covered it all. Well, the interesting thing about Ted Haggard is that he was preaching so vehemently against homosexuality and meanwhile was having sex with a male prostitute and doing meth.
Oh my gosh, I am just seeing this for the first time. That is insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Oh my God.
Well, I think there's a lot of those issues
in this conservative.
Yeah, where it's like porn addictions and homosexuality, like right. That conflict inside. And
inside. So they tell everybody, whatever you do, don't be a homosexual.
Don't watch porn.
I'm going to do it on the weekends.
Yeah. Whoa.
That's my
bubble in the throat. but yeah, that like so much, of not that everyone's doing it, but.
No, but.
There are homosexuals and porn addicts and cheaters that are doing it.
Tell everybody else,
don't do it.
Y'all don't do it. I gotta do it.
I gotta handle it. Y'all stay home.
Y'all don't do it, but I gotta do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's an. Yeah, we've heard this story before, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the guy tapping his foot in the stall. Remember that?
Yeah.
The politician? Anyway. Yeah.
In Idaho.
Was it in Idaho? Do you remember this?
Or was it Minneapolis? It was in Minneapolis.
I couldn't tell you. I mean,
it was in Minneapolis. Yeah. I know I've probably told this on this show, and of course it doesn't matter, but I have to.
Does it have to do with a glory hole?
No, it has to do with germ issues. I'm sure I've told you this, but I was.
It doesn't matter. Right. We've all heard it. Go ahead.
I was in the bathroom at the airport.
Yes.
The woman in the stall next to me, before she sat down, plopped down on the pot, put her pillow on the floor of the bathroom. Her pillow. I was staring at that with such horror. And then she's going to get on a flight and snuggle into
that pillow. Thank God I have this thing.
Got to rest. And just cheek on filth pillow.
Whoa, that's bad.
So bad.
That's weird. And by the way, she's probably perfectly fine.
I know, but it is grody to the max for sure.
Oh my God, for sure, for sure. All right, are you ready for our final thoughts?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Okay. It's time for Happily Ever After Thoughts, where we give our final thoughts for this week's documentary. Did you cry?
Yes.
No, you didn't.
Tears of joy.
Did you cry? That was
not my upbringing. I was just like, I kept thinking about Max and Finn in that room with somebody yelling at them about Jesus and abortion.
Hour or 2 hours or 8 hours or however long. I did think about that because I thought about, wow, you know, when you're a kid, you're just born into whatever family you're born into or adopted into. And it's like, you don't have any control over it. So whatever your parents tell you to do, you have to do until you realize one day, oh, they're nutballs. I don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah, the only control you have is to rebel against that.
Right.
And so that
comes later when you're old enough to, like, you know,
rebel.
Stand up for yourself. Rebel. Mm-hmm. But when you're 8, you're just like, okay, I guess I'm listening to Cuckoo Pants for another 3 hours.
Yell at me about this dead baby. about 50 million dead babies. That was what he was yelling at these children about. Do you know 50 million of your friends didn't live?
Yeah, that was
it's
that was
so crazy.
A lot. Who were you attracted to?
Oh my gosh.
Doing this.
Oh my gosh. You know what?
Huh.
Probably purely physical, Ted Haggard.
Ugh, I know. I mean, your back's up against the wall because there's really, it's slim pickings.
No pickings.
It's either Ted Haggard or Cuckoo Pants. Although, I will say.
Oh, sounds like Cheryl found love.
There is a few clips of a guy named Mike Papantonio, who is an attorney in Florida, who I actually happen to know. And he does a radio show. And so he does this radio show. It's part of this documentary we didn't talk about. But he did a radio show at the time called Ring of Fire. And he was the one that really put a sort of a magnifying glass on on this lady, on Pastor Poopy Pant Fisher. but Mike Papantonio, that's good.
You know what I feel like?
What?
We were bragging a lot about our numbers going up. I bet we just lost all of our conservative Christian right-wing military listeners. Goodbye!
No, I mean, listen, this is an extreme case.
Don't you think those are our listeners? It's like half our audience.
I don't know. But I'm sure plenty of our audience is Christian. You know what I mean? It's like everybody can believe whatever they want. Everybody can feel whatever they want. Whatever it is that you believe in, that's great. And do whatever feels right. But when you're doing something like...
But don't yell at three-year-olds about abortion.
No. Well, I don't think our listeners... I mean, do you think... What's her name? Pastor...
Biggly Bops?
Biggly Bops is listening. Hey, Pastor Bibbly Bob. Hey. I think after this documentary came out, things went sour for her.
You do?
Yeah. I mean, I read that. I actually looked it up online because I was curious. When this came out, and I think that she was excited for it to come out so people could really see her vision more. And shockingly, people weren't thrilled with it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that's Jesus Camp.
That's Jesus Camp.
Y'all, that's Jesus Camp, y'all. Would you like to hear
I was just going to say, I felt like it's the style of documentary I like in the way it's produced. Like, it doesn't feel like that manufactured, overproduced documentary
like
that you see now.
Telling the story.
Well, it's not old school, like, science class. Well, right. But a documentary from old school is like, you know, bugs are creatures that live in the ground.
Oh, like with a narration.
Yeah, yeah.
Hi, everybody.
Right. But then, like, Michael Moore kind of popularized documentaries. And
more of a fast pace and more cuts and more energy.
So, like, between... Michael Moore to this time period, which I would assume is like the mid-2000s. When did this come out?
2006, yeah.
It was a sweet spot, you know. I think towards the end of the 2000, like I would guess 2010 or a little after, I feel like it started to get a little manufactured feeling with documentaries. Real clean and...
Yeah.
Overproduced and you can feel all the beats coming.
No, I like that.
You do.
I like an energy to it, and I like some music, and I like the artsy shot of, you know, what's his name walking through the snow. You know, it's like I like those.
I mean, I appreciate them all. I'm just saying, I really like this.
You were drawn to it. You like the
style. I like the grittiness. I like the feeling of people on the ground and
people on the ground.
It. Yeah, like on the ground, capturing the footage
of the Jesus Camp.
Yeah.
Would you like to hear some fan mail?
Always.
Okay. This week, concerned fans write in about Mommy Dead and Dearest episode. They were concerned. You ready? Paul D writes in an email. Good morning, ladies. Just listening to Mommy Dead and Dearest. Cheryl talked twice about the mother's death before Tig spilled the beans. Oh.
Thank you, Paul D.
It really makes me nervous when you guys fight. I feel like I'm a child with my parents. I love you both. Please don't break up. Love your devoted fan. Oh, Paul D.
Paul D, you are sadly one of those people that he buys cares. In.
He believes
and he buys into our little spat.
Our fights. Oh, yeah. Paul D, don't worry. We're in love as ever.
Cheryl, have we ever had a fight?
No. I can't even imagine.
No.
By the way, if you tried to have a real fight with me, I would not
You'd
take
laugh
you
seriously.
Yeah, that's the problem.
And if you were mad at me, I would be like, wait, are you serious? Wait, you're mad at me?
You can't be. Are you seriously mad at me? Yeah. You guys will know.
It will be the end. It will be the end.
No.
I just don't. I don't see a world where you and I would find anything.
Fight over. I mean, I will disagree a lot. Let's do another email. You want to hear it?
Are you mad at me, Cheryl?
Yes, because you're the jumping ahead. Bobby R. And Bobby with an I. That's adorable. Right. I love the podcast so much and laugh so hard, but I have also been concerned about your friendship surviving.
Oh my God. Bobby with an I.
This week, the bickering came to a new level, and I believe it is real. Hang on. We love you. And
wait a minute.
Why
Bobby?
Break up.
Wait, what did Bobby think was real when you yelled at me for spilling the beans or that we had a text exchange?
I don't know.
Because we talked about that too, which just to put everyone at ease.
Yeah, let me.
It was a joke. We were doing a joke text exchange. We were pretending to be mad at each other.
We were doing a bit, a breakup and reuniting.
But I kind of like that people are really...
They're concerned.
They're concerned. We haven't even come slightly close to a fight.
I know. Can you imagine? Our poor listeners would be like, oh my God, they're fighting. Wait, this is what else? This week, the bickering came to a new level, and I believe it is real. Hang on. We love you and don't want you to friend break up. No one cares about the beans whatsoever. Just spill them whenever. Cheryl, still be as authentically annoyed as you will be, but please, no breakups.
Oh my God.
What if one day I get so annoyed about you spilling the beans that I just
that
log off?
We don't talk anymore. Our friendship is over because I told people that the woman died, even though it's in the title of the movie that she died. And you mentioned it twice before I did.
But we didn't know how she died. We didn't know if it was, what's
don't
her name?
Don't start this fight
okay,
again.
Okay, let's, no, we don't want our
We're
listeners.
We're going to upset everyone.
I know, you guys, it's okay. Mommy and mommy are not fighting. Sometimes I don't need you to, you know, start in so early with the beans.
But our friendship can get
over that. But our friendship is not on the line. If we started out with the we could survive it.
We could definitely pull through if I
We're not that fragile.
The beans that are, in fact, in the title of the movie.
Our friendship can survive it.
If our friendship can't survive it, we had nothing.
Then
there was never anything.
We didn't deserve to. Yeah. No. But thanks, guys, for writing in. We really appreciate it. And you did the right thing. If you have questions or if you have thoughts or feelings.
You're worried about my two moms splitting up.
Please, just write to us and tell us. We'll respond. Look, everything's okay, guys. Don't worry. Do you have anything to promote?
I do.
End on
my HBO animated special.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, Cheryl.
Is it great?
Okay.
No, but tell
Quit
us about it.
Quit trying to dig the knife in
like
deeper. Tig Notaro Drawn. It's on HBO. It's on the network as well as streaming on HBO Max.
Yeah.
And there's been very positive feedback and reviews and things like that. But I also have a show called One Mississippi on Amazon. I have Tig, the documentary.
We have okay. They already know about
HBO.
All of this. Okay, great.
Boyish Girl Interrupted is also on HBO. Check that out.
Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in today.
Happy to be here.
Hi.
On Netflix.
Once again. I'm like the crazy old
aunt. Do you have anything
aunt.
To promote?
They know.
Curb Your Enthusiasm?
There's that. And there's news that I can't tell you yet, but it's exciting.
Are you pregnant?
Yes. It's not that, but it's something fun and exciting, and I will tell you as soon as the ink dries.
Okay.
I've been tapped for something.
Braggadocious alert.
So we'll fill you in.
Okay. Should we do it again?
Yeah, let's do it again. Tig and Cheryl True Story is hosted by me, Cheryl Hines, and Tig Notaro. It's produced by Gabby Kovacic and Thomas Ouellette, audio engineered and edited by Thomas Ouellette, with music by David Sussin. Special thanks to Patrick McDonald and Stephanie Allen. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. You can email us at tigandcherylTrueStory@gmail.com.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.